Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." As we talked last week, the Great Commission is an authorization to do something. The word "go" in verse 19 is defined as to pursue the journey on which one has entered. Kind of gives it a cool meaning that we have as believers in Christ, when we put our faith in Him, have begun on a journey. Luke records Jesus' words just prior to His ascension into heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Believers in Christ are on a mission, commissioned by God, unlike the Blues Brothers. Okay, we don't have that old of a crowd in here. That's sad for me. It may or may not be involved travel, because it involves wherever we are, whenever we are, and doesn't require a foreign language or a foreign nation. It can happen right here in our own community. And we should do that job that God has commissioned us to do where we are right here. Last week, I introduced the acrostic ACE. An ACE is one who excels at something. And we talked about that as far as building within. And we should build within, accept people where they are, commune together, encourage one another. And these qualities should be ever growing within the church. It should be such that people are attracted to that because of the sincere faith in which we desire to do something with excellence, because that's what God's called us to do. Today, I want to look at the same word, looking at the church, us as God's people, but looking outside, reaching outside. We're never commanded to build nice buildings and to stay in them. In fact, I had just out of curiosity, I was looking up the Crystal Cathedral and Schuller. Because I lived in Orange, California many years ago. And, you know, it was touted as man's monument to man. Of all the things I've gone through, all the bankruptcy and stuff and the infighting within that church, you know, that these big buildings don't last. The church lasts. But the church is never beautiful, magnificent buildings. It's the body of people that make up the church. We are called to go, and I want to look at three areas in which we are to be an ACE, reaching outside in the community, wherever we go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time. We thank you for these that are gathered this morning to be touched by you, to be encouraged by your word, to be challenged, but also to be inspired. Inspired to live lives for Christ, that he might be exalted in our lives, that others might be drawn to him. Father, may you magnify yourself, and may you teach us from the very heart of your word. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. To be an ACE, reaching outside, the A means to do this. Thank you, Teresa. You do that job so well. It's like, boom. Thank you. I mean that sincerely. To be the A of ACE means we are to associate. We are to associate with people in the community. The Jews had a problem. The Jews were given God's word, they were given God's commandments, but then they isolated themselves. They were put in the very crossroads of the world. Jerusalem was the crossroads of that empire at that time. And rather using their influence to influence the world, they isolated themselves to insulate around the world. They did the exact opposite of what they were supposed to do. We should learn from what they did and infiltrate. You see, we're a moving forward faith. We're not a moving back and protecting faith. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ, the Bible tells us, so we are to be offense. We are sheep, but we're attack sheep. Think about that. Get those collars with little spikes hanging out, you know. I've got one of those in my office, by the way, given to me to remind myself that we're supposed to infiltrate with God's love, God's truth, not our truth, that they might be drawn to God. We need to associate with people in the community. Listen to what happened in the very first century with this first church. In Acts chapter 2, starting verse 46, that day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. That's talking about people outside of the church, okay? They were being such of an influence and such a visible entity, this brand new thing called the church, that they're making an impact. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. Why? Because it made an impact. The church is to make an impact. You know, we tell people in our sign, come as you are, you'll be welcome at Grace. Why? Because a lot of places say, you know, once you clean up your act, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, and then you can come on into the country club, whatever it is. That's not the point, people. That is not our job to change people's lives. That's God's job. As pastors, we're required to teach truth. But we're not responsible for what people do with that truth. I won't come knocking on your door or, you know, although I do know where all you live. I don't do that because it's not my job. Thank you. I'm just in one of those moods this morning, you can kind of tell. Had one cup of coffee, time for the water. Romans 12, verse 16. Paul says, be of the same mind towards one another. Well, that means unity of mind. Whose mind should we gravitate to, okay? Let's pick one mind. Let's all become one mind with that. Okay. None of us qualify. Let's get one mind with the mind of Christ, okay? Be of the same mind. Don't be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Sometimes we think too much of ourselves, but part of that is the society in which we lived. Because what? It's all about us. It's all about the car that we drive or the house that we have or the things we have, because that will make us better. And that's why we have the various things we have in the government and things that are just falling apart, because we have made it about ourselves rather than about the one that made us, rather than making it about God. We make it about what makes us feel good rather than truth. Everything's become relative. Relative situational ethics, you know, it can change from situation to situation rather than truth to reign. But we need to associate people so they understand that, because it's not our truth, people. We didn't write anything inside here, but we are to follow it. And we are to encourage people to follow it as well, because the church is changing. The church is changing and going directly against what God says. And that worries me, because God won't let that happen. If you don't believe that, go back in the Old Testament and look what Israel went through when they began to disobey God. We need to associate so that we can share truth and live truth as well. The church doesn't have a pretty good reputation for being hypocritical. Why do you think that is? Because we're one way here, but we're a whole other way outside on Monday through Saturday. People, that shouldn't be. I guarantee you that myself and Pastor Roland, our bad humor exists on Monday as well as it does on Sunday. It doesn't change.
That's right.
Thank you. I knew there was an affirmation there somewhere in this group. But it should be the other things as well. The things we live, we shouldn't be living in violation of God's word. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. But then we can come to God and ask forgiveness and then continue on in his strength to do better. We're not without sin. We're not sinless, but we should sin less. All those who love the Lord, Jesus should desire to walk a walk that he walked and be eager to reach the lost with the gospel. Ran across a man by the name of Jerry McCauley, and he was an example of such an individual. Let me tell you about him. Early in life, he was a thief and a counterfeiter. He was born in Ireland and came over to the United States and didn't start off very well here. As a result, he spent 7 years in Sing Sing. And although he was converted there, it was a long time before he experienced the complete victory that's available in Christ. When he did, though, however, he made a huge difference. He began witnessing to other men who had sunk deep into sin. Later, he started America's first rescue mission in New York City, where he befriended the worst criminals and Skid Row characters. He reached down to the lowly because that's where he used to be, and he wanted to raise them up. Just before his death in 1884, when he was 46 years old, he died from a disease he contracted in prison. He said to his wife this, "I know that soon tuberculosis will take my life, but I want to die on my knees, still praying for the lost. I'd rather have some poor soul that I led to the Lord put one small rose on my grave than to have the wealth of a millionaire." Apparently, his wish was granted, for at his funeral, an aged, shabbily dressed man appeared. Handing one of the ushers a few flowers, he asked him in a voice trembling with emotion to place them on the coffin. Then he said apologetically, "I hope Jerry, who was my friend, will the name that it came from old Joe Chappie." Miss McCauley preserved that little bouquet for a long time in remembrance of the fact that her husband had been a true friend of sinners. See, we're not called to isolate ourselves. We're called to associate ourselves that others might see Christ through us. 1 Peter 2:21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps." Although the passage talks about suffering, it's not suffering for what is wrong, but suffering for what is right. And people, I tell you, time is coming that we're going to suffer as Christians. Because what we do is going to be seen as intolerant, unloving, and but that's just the way it is. We have an example, Christ, and he suffered in silence, never once giving a defense, and crucified for claiming that he was God. Even with all the teaching, feeding, and healing that he did, he still suffered at the hands for those who cried Hosanna just a few days earlier. The C in A stands for carry. Carry the testimony that each one of us have been given by God. A couple weeks ago, I shared my testimony, and I bookend it with Psalm because that's part of my life. But God has given you a testimony if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. The thing is, share that testimony because it's unique to you. It's special. And God has given that to you to bless and to encourage and to touch others. There are people that need to know your story because they feel that they don't measure up. Guess what? They don't. Guess what again? You didn't either. And we still don't, because it's not about our righteousness, it's about God's righteousness. And we need to carry that truth so that people are not fooled into staying away from God because they think they're not worthy. As a creation, we weren't, but Christ died for us anyway. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," meaning that it's God's grace that saved us, not because we're great people, because he's a great God. "It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man, no one can boast." No one can boast in any regard in regards to salvation, because it can only be received. It cannot be earned. It cannot be taken or bought with, I was going to say green stamps, but they don't have those anymore. Damn, I'm really going back. Man. Did we sing Ancient of Days today? I think that's a... No, didn't do that. All right, but anyway. But you get the picture? Not about us, people. It's about God and his great gift. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. We just studied this, you know, went through the whole book of 1 Peter. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence." There's an attitude we are to have when we share our faith. And keep, this is the part, verse 16, "and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." There are things in our faith that are in direct opposition to acceptance in the world. There's no other way to put it. And every time the church tries to accommodate the world to make it more presentable, they do a disservice to God. God has a reason for saying, "Thou shalt not kill." God has a reason for saying, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You know, for kids, honor your mother and father, because they know they're going to exasperate us, you know. And we just can't put that on their wall in their bedroom either. We have to teach them that. We have to teach them respect and the ability to understand what it is that they are doing is important to God. having that willingness to give and share is always at any time. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've gone to, no matter if I called ahead, if I sit at Meijer for a prescription, that God bumps me into somebody to start talking. It's kind of fun. You know, it kind of freaks them out. Golf course is a great place. Golf course is a great place to join a group that when you're playing by yourself, and then about the third hole and they ask you you do, they've been praying for the first three holes and using God's name a lot. And then when they learn that you're a pastor, how their whole language changes, you know. But see, that's what Christians do too. They change their language. They speak Christianese inside here, and they speak anything else but on the outside. Shouldn't be that way. Carry your testimony, live your testimony, be your testimony, because God has planted that in you, unique to you. There was a Christian lady who had a job that caused her to travel and to fly a lot, and she was on a plane one time, and she always takes her Bible along just to give her comfort, and she reads that. And next to her was a guy reading a magazine, and he kind of looked over and just kind of snickered, you know, at her Bible reading stuff. And he continued reading his magazine. She continued to read her Bible. He finally couldn't take it along. He says, do you really believe everything that's in that book? She says, oh, yes. If it's in the Bible, I definitely believe it. He says, what about Jonah? And being swallowed in that whale, you know, in that fish for 3 days. Do you believe that? Oh, yes, I believe that because that's in the Bible. Well, how did he do that? How did he live for those 3 days? He says, you know, she says, I really don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And he goes, well, what if he isn't in heaven? Oh, well, then you can ask him. I don't think that's the gentleness that God was speaking of when he wrote that in 1 Peter. Turn to John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. It's near the end of your Bible before Revelation. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. Grab one of those and turn to page, I think, 187 in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, and we're starting at verse 10. This is an important passage because we're talking about carry the testimony, carry the faith that God has put into you. Verse 10 of chapter 5 says this. He says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony where? In himself. You have it inside of you. The one who does not believe in God has made him a liar. Why? Because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. He didn't say given him concerning his Son, but given concerning his Son. What testimony did God give concerning his Son? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the one that was sent from heaven to die for your sins. This is the one you need to put your faith into. If you accept that testimony of God, then you are a believer in Christ when you ask for your sins to be forgiven, to accept that testimony that God's given. If you don't, you've not believed, you call God a liar, and that is what keeps you out of heaven. Your sins do not keep you out of heaven. No matter what anyone's going to tell you, because goodness cannot get you into heaven. That's the only other flip-flop that can be. If your sins can keep you out, then the goodness of what you do can get you in, and both of those are wrong. Believing in the testimony of God, trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ, is the only way into heaven. Any other way will fall short. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care how much you work and do. It's not going to do anything. That is the lie that Satan wants to do on you. You're not doing enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not giving enough. You're not, you know how inadequate you are. The only adequacy is Jesus Christ, whose shed blood covered our sins, and accepting that testimony. That is it. Verse 11, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. What's he talking about? This life right here? Yeah, into a degree, because life takes on a different perspective, but he's talking eternal life. And people, every single person lives eternally, either with God in his presence, enjoying his grace forever, or eternal separation, eternal darkness for all eternity with no opportunity to come back. And the decision you make regarding that testimony of God towards his Son determines where you go. That's it. Nothing else. That one decision is the most important decision you make on this earth. And you have the opportunity to make that decision as long as there is breath. But once breath ends, that decision is cemented. There's no second chances, you know, after we die. But God gives every opportunity while we're still alive. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know. We talk about, remember, knowledge. God never says leave your mind at the door. That you know that you have eternal life. And that is the testimony, people, that we have to take out to the world. It's not an isolation, but an infiltration that we want to do out in the community, out into the world. A young man accepted Christ some years ago. And shortly after accepting Christ, he was talking to this Christian teacher that he was associated with. And he said, you know, the teacher, the wise teacher, said to the young convert, says, you know, what are you doing for Christ? And he goes, well, I'm a learner. I'm a learner. I said, oh, you're a learner. Okay. Take a candle. Do you light it just for comfort, or does it have a purpose? Well, it has a purpose. When you light it, do you expect it to eventually give light or to give light right away? Well, give light right away. Go and do likewise. Why are we waiting? Go and do it now. And because of that encouragement by that man, there were 50 new converts in the church soon after. People, if we just share the testimony that's within us, we could do remarkable things to share the gospel of Christ. It's not about numbers, by the way. Never is about numbers. I'm going to be speaking to a man who started a church up in South Branch, up that way. What's the city called up there where that hospital is? West Branch. North Branch. Okay, one of the branches. It's a pine tree. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's a dear lady of ours that, you know, that she supports this church with the tithes and offerings because this is where her she knows that God's doing things here. But we're going to talk on the phone today because, you know, there's a lot of things you have to understand. One, it's not about numbers. Being a pastor of a church, especially church planting, is about faithfulness. Because Satan will come against you in any way he can. It's preparing. It's faithfulness, being truth. The numbers, I'm not responsible for. Because if I get worked up on that, man, Satan can just use that all day long. Yeah, you had 84. It could have had 85, 86. Man, you're so close to 100. You know, he just works in the ego to attack and to discourage. Since it's your testimony that you carry, it really shouldn't be much of a burden because you're very comfortable with it. You know what it is. Just be ready to share it. The E in ACE is this: evaluate, which was kind of alluding to. Evaluate progress in God's eyes, not yours. You may be a failure, but you may be God's failure in order to demonstrate something. That was a little bit of the testimony that I shared a couple weeks ago, that when the first vote came up for me in this church, when Luann and I were being introduced to ministry and full-time ministry, the vote fell short for to be the director of worship at this church in Reno. Twice. But that was God's decision, not the people's decision. God used the people because we prayed for his answer. And staying to participate and to serve in lay ministry for another entire year, the vote was much different the next year. It was overwhelming to usher in. And the one of the big things was because you stayed. Most often when we don't get what we want for God, we just will bolt on. Rather than trusting that God's got a reason for it, and sticking to it and pressing forward. That was, I think, a very key moment in ministry for us that we had to do as a team. Was it disheartening? Absolutely. Oh, praise God, we got voted down. Yay. That wasn't a good week. But we did trust God. Because we evaluated in God's eyes, not our own eyes. And then we were able to be used by God as a testimony for that next year as well. To continue to serve all the things I did in full-time ministry, I did in lay ministry. Just didn't get paid for it. What is Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Declares the Lord. He makes an emphatic statement, which means this: get on my plane. Get on my plan. Get on my wagon and let's go do what I am going to show you. Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you. If he knows the plans, who's the best person to talk to? Well, let's talk to God. And he'll reveal those as we seek him with all of our heart. But we don't do that. Hey, God, come, bless this. I want to do this. Here. No? Okay, I'll do it anyway. And you'll just have to bless me because I'll just make such a mess of it that you'll have to go pick me right up. We do that too many times, people. Seek God first, and he will show you the way to go. But we don't do that. Evaluate it in God's eyes, because it may not be what you want to do. It may not be what he has for you, but it may be the very thing that you need. What is our commission? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. It's not numbers. It's growing churches for his purposes. I love personally when I hear the churches are growing. I do, because I'm not territorial, which tells me if God's moving there, he can move here too as well. It pains me when I hear churches dying out. They have the holy huddle, you know, and if you don't break that nut, how you're going to do it, you know, well, you don't quite match up with us. So we're not going to really talk to you. I was talking to my good buddy the other day about a church that God was just blessing and using. He and his wife, it grew to like 80, 85 people, but there's one person in the church that had the spiritual gift of criticism and began to point things out to people where they didn't measure up. And the church began to drop. 70s, 60s, down to the 40s. People, that's not the way it should be. Church is not created for your benefit, but for the benefit of its non-members, people outside, which is why we don't have membership, by the way, too. Because this is God's church. We're going to tell God what he's going to do? I don't think that would be a really good thing. Because God will show us what he's going to do. We got to evaluate with God's eyes, God's heart. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, by the means of. God's word is the most powerful thing, and we need to understand this. And this is why we're a Bible teaching church. I'm okay with topical studies. We'll get through this in about a week or two, but I love getting expository teaching through entire book of the Bible, verse by verse, so that we understand that. But you know what? I'll tell you a little clue. You can read this on your own during this week, too. It's really an okay thing. Go for it. Because we need to understand it. Philemon 1, verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective, which is also translated active, that your faith becomes active through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, the testimony for Christ's sake. Do you see kind of how all it fits together, what God's doing and what God has done and what God desires to do if you just release him to do that? Faith is effectively displayed when it's lived out. It's not you, but God in you. You are the manager, not the owner of everything that goes on. It's not something you turn off and turn on, put off and put on like a coat that's hung into a closet to forget. It's to be sincere, to be the part of your life. I've talked about harping on. Christ is to be the operating system, not the add-on. Frankly, I'm concerned and worried about add-ons because I don't know if they're going to work or not. You know those little bars things you can scan and you can tell what's going on? They worry me. What if they trick me? You know, what if it scanned me and said, you know, go take all of your money out and give it to the poor? You know, I might be worried about that. What money? Thank you very much. That's the perspective. See, God is just taking that worry out of my brains right now. In order to get there, though, you have to work it with your hands as well. I love my wife. She is so good. God gave me the perfect person. James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's verse 5, but look back at verses 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. When you make a stand for Christ, we are to expect resistance. But please remember, it's not our word that we're trying to follow, but God's. And there are many things in society that are being protected and that are an affront to God. And I'm not a fanatic. I'm not a religious wacko. I'm just a wacko. But in things that I've bought into the world that I realized once reading God's Word and understanding creation, understanding how can you look at a newborn baby and think that wow, we're just an accident? Or think of the choice that someone had made where this choice would have not caused this child to come into existence. But the world protects that. Because the end result of a pregnancy, every pregnancy, is a child. Why don't we see that as a nation? Why don't we see that as a society? Traditional marriage, human decency, morality. People, it's changing. If you don't stick with this, understand this, it would be very tough to try and keep accommodating because the world is constantly changing. God's truth has stayed there for our benefit. Things in our faith are taking hits each and every day. Everything is becoming relative. But if you don't know absolute truth and trust in that and live that, be gentle with that, reverent with that, man, I shudder to think about the church. So because it's not our truth that we hold on to, because we didn't create truth. Some concluding thoughts here for you. If we are to be successful in God's plan for grace, we need to be a place full of aces. We ought to be actively building within, taking every opportunity to accept believers where they are and understand the authority that's over us. That's not only civil authority, but especially the authority of God. If we understand that first, then everything else makes sense. Commune with other believers. We need to spend time. That's why there's many opportunities to do things that will just build social interaction as well, and encourage the body so that the people may be built up, not torn down. There's enough out there to tell you that about your hair color and your car and things that, you know, just do this. If you buy now, you get two. Just pay additional shipping and handling.
Can we leave that up there for just 1 second so I can copy that down?
I'll give it to you later. I'll make a copy for you. Yeah, you don't have to even do it.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Just see me afterwards. Okay. And then purposefully reaching outside, making sure, because I'm doing this and you can't write when I do this. Then you reaching outside, making sure that we associate with people in the community. Taking that testimony, carrying that testimony that God's given to each and every one of us. And then evaluate the progress in God's eyes, not in our eyes. And that is the most important one. Don't look at yourself, what everyone else says, because they will tell you what they tell you is false. They don't see clearly. Only God does. And God says, you're precious. You're precious enough that my son died for you. Excellence requires the best. And God gave his best, his ace. And we are to follow in his example. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time. And thank you for the truth of your word. May you encourage us. May you bless us. May you guard us and guide us. And Father, would you help us in this day to be committed to you, that regardless whatever we face, Father, we will trust you for the result and trust you for the testimony within us to share with others that they may see you in us and be drawn to Christ. Father, help us to remember these things throughout the week, throughout our life, and give you glory. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to be, every heart we hold to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to pain, is only by alone, which God supplies, strength alone he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace.
Father, give us the priority and the wisdom to see you move. And as we go from this place, may you bless us. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.